Welcome back to BSR. Isaac is fighting his allergies right now, so you get to hear my amazing voice instead. This is part two of their chat about the low-budget Ninja Trainwreck masterpiece,
Ninja Terminator.
Make sure to catch part one so this makes as much sense as possible. But again, this thing is a mess, so no promises in terms of full clarity. Like he always says, they use profanity and spoilers to get their points across. So if you don't like that kind of thing, tap stop before the music ends. And thanks for listening. They appreciate you. Also, while I have the show at my disposal, here are some free dad jokes. You're welcome, fleshbags.
What does a triceratops sit on? It's triceratops. What's a dinosaur's favorite type of floor? Reptiles. Oh my god, that was horrible.
So the movie, you can find it on YouTube or wherever. It's
like
around.
I'm giving Tubi a bunch of free advertisement. This is where I found it.
You would go to like Blockbuster or whatever in the day and see all this bullshit on the shelf. Like, now we can pick. Now we can watch filmographies.
I know, right? Shit.
So it's kind of amazing. Like, I hate the ads, but
yes,
you can log into your Roku device or whatever and just watch ninja movies forever.
For someone who likes ninja movies, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, right?
So, if someone who likes to drink, this is really going to be awesome.
If you don't pay a lot of attention, this is a good time, right?
Oh, it was, man. I mean, right? I don't lie. I watched this last night, and I was drinking with my wife. My wife was just like,
what the fuck is this?
What is going on?
Yeah.
Like, my wife literally, they gave me a little thing. Her two common comments of this movie was, that was a choice. That was a choice. And... why did I waste my adult viewing movie time on this?
Which are accurate observations.
Oh, God. Jesus, this movie.
So this movie starts with a studio cart.
Mm-hmm.
And the music that's playing is obviously Star Wars. It's not even like straight to just boost John Williams shit. And it's like, we're going with it.
I thought, okay,
and this is the title card for the studio.
So you said that. Right, I thought it was from Enter the Dragon.
Well,
so I wasn't paying attention.
Okay, right,
so
right, yeah.
I wasn't paying. You're just talking about the actual idea,
yeah, like the opening. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear. I wasn't paying attention, but the music when they were starting to play the credits sounded like the music from Enter the Dragon.
Yeah, they rip off a bunch of stuff. Like, yeah. Pink Floyd is like half of the sex scenes in this movie. So, yeah. front credits music is kind of distorted, but also kind of catchy. Like, I kind of want to figure out where they ripped the intro song off.
It was very loud.
Yeah. So they have the cast and crew. Ooh. And then it just lists at the bottom of the screen Japan, and there's like a bunch of scenes with Japanese stuff. It's like, is Japan a character in this movie?
Yes.
Like, I don't know what's going on here.
It's just Japan.
Including lanterns with ninjas printed on them, like Party City.
Yes. Like, why?
Like, he went to a mall and was like, I need all the ninja stuff you have.
I didn't He's like, he went to a planet city. He's like, you have anything that's closely like a ninja? Like, well, we have these little crappy
lanterns with a guy doing a headstand. It's like, perfect.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Exactly,
like,
what I need.
I don't know. Ninjas, like traditional, like warriors devoted.
You mean
rely on stealth and weapons?
And being in, you know, China?
Yeah, being concealed. No, they're in Japan right now. They have stuff.
Okay, right. Sorry, right, I forgot.
Yeah. Unless that's just a character and who knows where we are.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to read this movie backwards and forwards to understand the plot, but that's really not the point at all.
No.
A lot of this is just like hunt and pack and research that I didn't like.
Yes.
So a vaguely defined ninja empire is celebrating their 20th anniversary.
Because that's what you celebrate as a ninja.
That's what you do. So the leader, whose only name that I can find online is Supreme Ninja.
Yes.
Invites his three best ninjas to watch him put together the world's easiest puzzle.
So if you guys wonder what it looks like, it's supposed to be like a samurai guy.
Yeah, it's like a goblin face and two arms holding swords.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it looked like, for you guys who know, millennials out there, it looked like the gold monkey from Legend of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah, it does. Actually, a lot of props in this kind of look like.
That would look like.
Jesus. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would look like. And so they put it together, and then he starts going, and every time he guy talks, he just laughs.
This guy's having a great time.
He's like, this is like, the like, best
Supreme
thing ever.
Loves this, right?
Yes. And two of his best students are middle-aged white dudes.
Yeah, so his ninja masters are named Tamashi, Baron, and Harry McQueen.
And of course,
and he's in like a hoodie. Like it's not even like a ninja outfit. It's just like a red hoodie with the hood up.
Yes.
Like he looks like freaking discount club Satan.
Yeah,
with a fucking cape.
Because they have it in a red tint too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, well, and they're just like, he goes, now that I got these together, I'll have the ultimate power. And he starts doing some hand movements like Naruto and shit, yeah. Which make no sense.
They don't describe what's happening until way later in the movie.
Yeah, and then he's doing it. And then they're like, he's like, all right, now try it. And then his people, I guess that was their cue to take out their swords and start
trying to whip him.
Yeah, start cutting over stuff. And he just laughs as they're doing it.
And then he's like, Harry, you don't seem like you believe me. Try it out. So Harry's like, well, can I try it out? And he's like, yeah.
First of all, you think I don't believe you? I literally just saw.
I just saw Baron just tried to murder you. I so know, like,
right? And you just laughed it off. I'm pretty sure I believe that. Same thing happens to Harry. He's like, oh, that happened. So there's.
And then it kind of jump cuts to like later in the day, maybe. But like the three ninjas show up during the day. All of the boosting is happening during the day with the ninjas. Bright, fully, almost bright, noon, yes. Whatever. It's fine.
Like they just came back from lunch and decided to steal.
He's like, hey, let's steal this shit.
Yes. Hey, after lunch, after we go, because
fuck stealth.
As we go to Baja Fresh,
right? Let's get my orange Julius.
Let's go get this. It's like, oh my god! Like, it is like, let's go take this. Hey, don't worry, he'll be taking his 2 o'clock nap. He ain't gonna know.
Also, like, they're doing these like largely bloodless things where you just tap someone their sword and they flip over and die, yes. Or whatever. And apparently, some of their sword hilts shoot smoke for some reason.
Yes,
it's like a fire extinguisher or whatever.
Exactly. Later on in the movie, one person's gonna shoot fire, and you know it's gonna shoot the fire extinguisher, and they just cancel each other out.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a fire extinguisher and fire. Yeah.
I was like, what's going on with this?
So based on what happens later in the movie, the statue, the arms make that arm impervious to blades.
Oh, that is?
And the middle torso part makes the middle torso impervious to blades.
Okay.
But again, you kind of have to piece this together from later. The ninjas chase after and they get away, and Supreme yells at this guy. Those guys like, hey, get my shit back.
And not just that.
Kill the ninja guys that just infiltrated the organization and easily got away in a fort guarded by all of the ninjas. Go after them. Find them. Get my shit back.
And then, what? As they're leaving, the main guy who's killing everybody is the hairy guy.
Yeah.
And he just kills these people easily, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay. And then this is when two of them just start doing cartwheels for no reason. Yeah. Just
they do flips past each other.
Yes. And you flip it. Two of them just do cartwheels down one of the places where they were running
at. It's like
just
fucking stepping up to the streets. Yes. And it's like, now that we've established our credentials, knife times.
Exactly. And then one part I laughed at, one of the most part, was when the head guy found that they stole the stuff. Him and his number two guy, mm-hmm. who's later on in the movie, they see all their ninjas dead. He literally walks on top of
one of the guys. And then he walks up, and there's like a Satan logo on the back of Supreme's cape.
Yes.
He's like, they legit went to Party City and got this.
He didn't need to step on the guy because one of the other guy stepped over someone else. He literally purposely stepped on that guy.
On top of the spine of this man, yeah.
And walked over him, and it was real because Andrew was like,
like he was not expecting that.
No, he was not. Oh Lord, this movie. And then it jump cuts to 2 years later.
I cannot emphasize enough how shit the dubbing is. This it, like Supreme's actual line is, "As for the traitors, make sure they are killed."
Here's the thing, though.
Two years later, before
he says that, he says, find the pieces of the thing.
Uh-huh.
And then he says, kill them, right? Mm-hmm. So 2 years later, it shows the Tanashi guy, of course, the only Asian of the three badasses. He's just sitting there.
Hanging out with a statue piece.
Yes, hanging out.
Trying to do hand motions.
Yes.
Ninja attacks him. Defends him off pretty easily. Then he goes back to making hand motions.
And he didn't just like, when I say he defended him off, he basically just pushed him back. And then he goes, like, I'm going back to do, I'm going to turn around and do my ninja stuff while you are nowhere near knocked out behind right? me. And you were a guy who just came and tried to kill me. I'm just going to do it. And he's doing his ninja stuff to a statue. And then the other guy, for some reason, decides, I'm 3 feet behind you.
I'm going to throw a shuriken.
Yeah. And I told my wife, I was like, wait a minute, did he ask for him to make sure to find the, I was like, okay, it was fine because the piece he needed was right there, so of course that's why he didn't do anything. But he shot him and he took the ninja shirt and killed him, and the guy's like, I did not think this guy was gonna hit me in the back.
Oh, he came back. Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
I expected,
because
when I,
like, we know it makes him invincible in the torso, having seen the rest of the movie, but at this point in the movie you're just like, what the fuck are you doing? He's right there.
Exactly. Like, you're like, okay. So then they cut to his funeral where his grave where his little sister and younger brother are standing there looking at his grave and, you know, discussing them being sad. And they literally do
and it starts
exposition
off with
dump.
Miyocho, my sister, the lady, they dubbed over like the lady was stumbling over her lines.
Yes.
Not even sad, just, this is the first time I have acted. Microphone's this one, right?
She's like, why would someone do this to him? We don't understand. And then the brother goes, yeah, I don't know. Why would someone kill him and then leave evidence?
Maybe he was hiding something. And it lists all of his crimes.
He starts saying, maybe he's with the drug cartel. Maybe he's doing this.
Maybe he had relationships with gangsters.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry to make you upset. Oh, no.
He's like, and why would they kill him with something? They said they found some metal object in his weird
neck. So it couldn't have just been accidents.
No, this, it was. And then why would someone kill him and then leave evidence? Yeah. What? And they said some metal object. It was
a shuriken.
It was not a ninja star.
Yeah.
It was not. No way. Someone was like, man. And no one who knows nothing about ninjas would see a ninja star in a bag. Someone like, wow, that guy got killed by a ninja star.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's some metal object. I don't know what that is.
Jeez.
And then he's just like, I don't know. Why would they do that? I don't
freaking
know.
Freaking Christmas
crazy.
Tree or ornament or something.
And then after that exposition dump, they cut to
a blonde haired Chinese man.
Yes. Who was just looking. And then it cuts to the other white guy who spends 90% of the rest of the movie in the same suit, in the same chair.
Talking on the phone.
On the phone.
And he's talking to the same guy. Tiger Chan is his name. And he just repeats, like, he says the thing, and then Tiger says the exact same thing to a group of henchmen, right?
Who's always, I told my wife, if you look at it, every time they go back to the scene of when he's talking to the henchmen on the landing of the stairs, every time he comes back, he moves across the landing.
Yeah.
Every time
he
starts.
Oh, they're reusing footage.
Yeah. Every time it starts, he's on a different part of the landing. So eventually, the fifth time he gets to it, he starts at one end, and it starts beginning at the other end. So literally, he's like, one scene, he's at the end. Mm-hmm. Next scene, he's a little bit over more. Next scene, he's a little bit over more. Next scene, he just keeps starting at a different spot every time they do the thing. And he's always like, and there's no reason why he has a blonde wig.
No, no.
And this is the first time my wife said, that's a choice. They made a choice. Because she goes, because my wife put on like a 5-minute tirade about the wig.
It's not a good wig.
No, it's not.
This is the reason they don't even address it, I don't think.
Oh, I remember what she said now. I couldn't remember what she said. She said, like the first lady of a black church wig.
Like, wow.
Like that was her important wig. Not the Easter. No, she just said, not the Easter wig, but like the wig, like at the pastor's anniversary wig.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. She said, it was pastor's anniversary wig. And I was like,
so,
wow.
True story, I did order that Blu-ray of the film release. On the second Blu-ray that comes with this thing, they found the original footage of this Korean movie, and I am so curious what is going on.
Like, why does he have a wig on? Because later on in the movie, he takes it off to fight.
Yeah.
And his hair is just as long as the wig.
Yeah.
But black.
Unless it's a second wig.
Yes. It doesn't look like a second wig. And Mark says, that's another wig. Why is he wearing two wigs?
Fuck? Yeah.
Why is he wearing a wig on top of a wig? That literally is a hat on top of a hat.
For real is. We'll be right back. So the blonde hair guy is talking to Baron. He was like, only the complete statue will give me ultimate power, because Triforce bitch or something. I'm summarizing, obviously, but he goes out and tells the same thing. And he's like, Tamashii entrusted the body of the statue to Izuka or his sister Mayoko. The two people that were at the funeral.
Yeah.
The torso is in their possession now.
And he goes, get it from them. Right. You know, find it. Or if you can't find it, you know, take care of him.
The next scene, they're driving down the road. The two people from the funeral.
Some reason they're out in the middle of nowhere.
There's a sniper who misses.
Wait. You forgot. Some reason they're out in the middle of nowhere and they decide, let's just get out and look at the scenery.
Yeah.
For no reason.
And they stop. They didn't say that, didn't they?
Stop in the middle of the road. They get out, and then the guys who you guys sent, they were just wearing the regular clothes, and he's put stockings on their heads. And one of the guys had a hole in his stocking, so his nose was coming out. You can see it. And then for some reason, the guy who was a sniper had nothing on.
He's just in a suit.
He's a suit sniper. And then he's sitting there, and they're out in front of the car just looking at the dirt nature.
Mm-hmm. I love nature. And then the henchmen come up, and to be fair, the brother, he's putting up a good fight, right? Yeah. Well, he's doing all right.
The assassin
misses.
There
were too many of them.
The assassin misses the guy who's just sitting by his car. And then as soon as that happens, everyone jumps out. And then, he's like, oh, let me do it.
Yeah.
They did not ask him any questions.
They start
stabbing
his ass and then stab him.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, I guess that lady's kidnapped. No, she's fine. She got away.
Yeah.
It's okay.
They didn't address that.
Yeah. That's fine.
They didn't go after her. They didn't ask her any questions.
Nope.
They just killed the brother.
She cool. Yeah.
And they killed the brother on top of the roof. So he's dead right on top of the roof of the car. They didn't get any information about
because instead of addressing any of this shit, they just cut to a montage of Harry McQueen doing ninja shit.
Exactly.
In his camo hood, he's like cutting up a watermelon, doing fire dancing. Really exciting movie.
Fire dancing, think of those Polynesian guys you see at like a hotel in Hawaii with doing the spinning of the fire. That's what he looked like, but wearing ninja outfit. Yeah.
Dude, like he has heavy eyeliner. Like he looks like the lead singer from My Chemical Romance.
That's another time my wife said, that's a choice.
It's not to like cut down reflections or whatever. It's a fashion choice.
It's not even like the stuff you see baseball players or football players.
No, because that's on the cheeks, right?
Yeah. No, it literally is just
tight liner.
Liquid eyeliner he got from Sephora.
There's some scenes in this where
the other dude has
like Richard
too.
Harrison looks like he's just dying inside as he's performing the stuff. One of those scenes.
And then they turn back to the other guy, the Baron dude. Uh-huh. He has it too, but at least when Richard wears it, he wears it where he has his ninja costume on.
Yeah, yeah.
The other guy just wears it all the time.
Just 24/7. Yes. He's got this on.
He's just like, I'm not going to take more time to do it.
So next up.
Oh, Jesus.
It cuts back to Harry at home with his wife. And this is actually his wife. I looked it up. As far as I can tell, the pictures look the same of this lady and his actual life and real life.
Oh, so that's his real life. Okay. Yeah,
yeah. So she's like, I'm going to make your favorite dish. And he's like, steamed crabs. And she's like, no, idiot. Yes. It's like, no, I don't know what my favorite dish is.
She called
whatever.
She called it
drunken crab.
Drunken crab. That's for spring. And so the crab, I guess.
She goes in and immediately, like, oh no, the crabs have escaped.
I don't know if someone threw the crabs out.
I thought it was like an assassination attempt, but no, I just think she fucking sucks at working with crabs.
Yeah, because she was freaking out, like, oh my God, what am I going to do with these crabs?
Oh, fuck.
And he takes out a knife and he just looks at her and goes, huh, stupid woman.
Just throws a knife at the crab?
Because he's sitting there polishing his katana. And then he looks at her like, oh, stupid. Because she's freaked out. Like, she looked like, my wife said, so how does she make crab if she didn't think they were alive?
Right?
Like, how does she make it?
The sound effects make it seem like the crabs are screaming at her, too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. So he reaches over and there's like some switchblade knife.
Yeah.
He picks it and just throws that at one of them and that was it.
And then a different knife is sticking out of the crab.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a part of me that's like, okay, cruelty to animals, whatever. It's like, they were about to boil these crabs alive. So, like, yeah. I don't want to see it, you know.
And I'm just like, he just sits there and laughs, like, he didn't go and help her pick him up. So it was like, he just like, I just want to kill something, and then that was it, and that was the end of the thing.
But they don't actually end the scene, it just flips to back in Asia.
Yes.
And the Jaguar is walking down the street and is like, hey Alfred, any news?
Yes.
Like, the other Asian guy is named Alfred.
Yes. And this is the guy who is constantly chewing gum like it's going out of style,
right?
And he's just like, hey, any news?
And then the guy's like, oh, hi, Jaguar. Looks like Miyoko's brother was killed. And then he's like, too bad. Ciao. And then he walks off.
He just walks off.
And the guy's like, the tone is way off. It's like, oh, that kind of sucks. Whatever.
And then he just goes taxi, or he gets on a bus. I can't remember what he did.
Like, he goes back. He works for Harry. So he calls
apparently
Harry. He's like, take care of Miyoko. The tub is so bad. But it's a Garfield phone.
Yes.
Like, it was like, why did he buy a fucking Garfield phone? It takes me out of this scene. Come on.
I was like, what? I know Garfield was very popular in the 80s. So I'm not going to say
it.
It was
like, oh, Americans love Garfield, right?
What? Remember, this guy's like 45 years old. What 45-year-old male is going to have their, not just male, what 45 married male is going to have his main
contact with ninja's phone
be a Garfield phone that only teenagers have. Like teenage girls would have. And it's cool because it's the one too that when you put the thing down, his eyes open.
Yeah.
So it was fancy right. too.
That like thing. I had seen these things at thrift shops back in like the early 90s or whatever. I've seen it before. But like
I think I saw it like teenage comedy shows where teens were like, oh yeah, this is my phone. It totally takes you like as you said, takes you out of the scene.
Footage was in like a bajillion movies.
I can't respect a guy who's like, yes, find this piece. Will kill them. He's talking about Garfield's butt.
Right? Like, it's literally like when you pull it up, it's like his butt that he's talking about.
It's like, I can't. There's a scene later on where the bad guy's calling me. He's just sitting there looking like, I'm worried.
Right. And serious face.
Serious face. And he has the phone next to him. I'm like, it doesn't work that way, guys. It doesn't work. I can't take you seriously. If I saw that, I'm like, I ain't respecting this motherfucker as a damn ninja. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
God. So, Jaguar, his orders are to take care of Miyoko, right? And because he got the idol, like, whatever. They're trying to patch the movies.
I literally did not know that's what he was. I knew he was taking care of her, but I didn't know he was working for her.
Because it's like one line is the tie between these two really different movies.
I thought he was just protecting her. Actually, I thought he was the other guy who died at the beginning of the movie.
Kinda, yeah.
I thought he was a Lance or whatever guy until they kept saying, call him Jaguar. I was like, right? Oh, I guess that's and not again, him.
I don't want to be the guy that has like Asian face blindness, but they're wearing like hoodies and masks and shit. Keeping people straight is difficult. Yeah.
It wasn't until
a lot of the scenes where it's like the camo ninja whatever thing, and like they wanted to be Richard Harrison, but it is not.
Oh.
No, that man's obviously like a half foot shorter.
Oh, there's a scene that comes up later where I'm gonna talk about how the person obviously ain't the person who it was. But the point part of this movie is you're gonna notice that we're gonna say things that I don't think are in the right order.
Yeah,
because they just jump.
It's really just like this scene happens and then this scene happens and this scene happens. Like, right,
it's an amalgamation of stuff they put together to make a movie.
Jaguar goes to find Miyoko. So walks in the street, asks some guys, is like, hey, is there a restaurant around here called this? I'm looking for someone. And they're like, hey, Kung Fu.
Exactly. Just attack him. There's no point. There's no. Like, they're playing catch. Like, oh, we're playing catch. And he comes up like you. A normal person will go up to anybody. But hey, excuse me, guys. Is there a... And he said it nicely, too. Like, hey, is there a... Although I'm pretty sure they punched him because he looks like a creeper. So that's probably why they punched him and beat him up. But he just goes, hey, where's the restaurant around here? Like, oh, no one comes and asks about restaurants around here.
I cut you.
And they start fighting him. And he just whips the ass.
And he just walks off, goes into the thing, fights Miyoko. He was like sitting in the corner of the bar.
He did it to the waiter.
Oh, the waiter. The waiter. Yeah.
The waiter, this guy's walking by with
what
a drink.
What I want isn't on the menu. Maybe it is. What do you need? It was like Miyoko. No,
I'm not even talking about that waiter. I'm talking about the waiter he walks by that's a drink. There's a waiter. Yeah. There's a waiter walking by to give a drink to someone else. So he has like on the little tray and he's walking by. He stops the guy, takes drink from the waiter and drinks it and puts it back, and the look on the waiter's face is like, I know this motherfucker did not just do what I think he did. and he even stopped, and the main guy sat down at the table and the waiter just stood there and looked at him like,
the fuck,
motherfucker. Whoop it. Like, I was like, was that real? Like that
was that just an outtake? Actor was like, don't start shit, won't be shit.
Yes. Like, that guy literally looked at him like he's about to punch him in his face. Is that waiter about to punch him in his face? Like, it was too long long for it to be that was how it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It was too long because then he just walks off. Like, oh, yeah, he's supposed to walk off. Because he's kind of looking like, did this motherfucker just do what I think this motherfucker did? Like, that's the look on his face. And the look was like, okay, he did that when he was drinking. But then he put it back down and sat down. The guy just turned to him and didn't, like, go back immediately. He just turned and was looking at him like, are they going to start fighting?
Because that's on the table at this point.
Shit, if I was a waiter, I'd do that shit, too. I'm like, excuse me?
But he finds Miyoko, walks over to her.
After he throws a dice, like he's playing fucking Dungeons and Dragons.
He throws some dice occasionally. No one brings it up.
And like some dice, we need one dice.
Yeah.
One individual dice. He just throws it. And then asks, like, oh, you want something? He goes, I want something not on the menu.
It's Miyoko.
That guy's like, oh, she's not here. Like, I would say that too, because if that waiter was just being protective of her, because
that makes sense.
That guy, the way he said it, made it like, so that's what's going to go happen, or I'm going to kill her.
Yeah.
Like, that was the expression he gave when
they
probably
saw the fight that happened outside.
Yeah. Or the fact that the guy just took that drink for no reason.
Just
like,
for
oh,
no,
no
reason, right?
No, I'm protecting her. He's not going to see her.
Doesn't help at all. He walks up and he's like, sorry about your brother. Do you have a statue? Also, you might be in danger. I'm not threatening you. He's really awkward about it.
He's like, I'm offering my protection to you and blah, blah, blah. And then the whole way he's doing this is he's smiling at her. Like he puts his hands down, smiling at her on the table. Like, hey, baby.
He's like,
so beautiful. Yeah. Once you come out and that's the vibe he was giving off. But the words were what Isaac just said.
Yeah.
So it was totally conflicting with what was going on. I'm like,
and then he leaves and he runs into those henchmen that I mentioned earlier. And they're like, hey, are you Jaguar? And he's like, yeah. He's like, you are too uppity. Let's fight.
Yes.
He kicks their ass. And then he's like, hey, take a message to Tiger Chan, who you obviously work for. And they're like, okay. And they start running off.
And they start running. He goes,
and
hey.
He's like, hey, I actually give you the message.
I know. That was funny.
They're like, stay away from Miyoko. You can forget about getting the statue. And they're like, what? And then it just cuts.
Yes. That was hilarious to me. Like, even him calling them back so he can give them the message was hilarious.
What the fuck?
I never saw that in a movie before. No. That's like a great joke.
Yeah.
That's
a
great joke. It's like the comic timing on that joke was great.
Yeah, absolute perfection. Oh. Okay, so there's a red ninja.
This is fucking killing me.
There's a red ninja creeping around a very well lit room looking for the statue.
Yes.
And then Harry gets home. He's barely at Harry's house. He's whistling to himself.
Yeah.
The ninja's hiding. He goes in for the attack, but Harry is already transformed into camo ninja.
On the other side, not only did he camouflage himself, he was wearing regular clothes when he came in. He wore like a middle-aged white guy's thing. The guy turned and he was gone and he was on the opposite side of the guy, 10, 5 feet away from him, wearing his ninja stuff, like, let's go. And he had like a side thing was half the side went up, half it went down, and then the guy threw
a ninja star and he just catches it on like the hilt and he just spins around like a fidget spinner or something.
And then there's like, I'm gone.
Well, it's like, okay, so there's some little bit of kung fu action. And then the ninja uses the smoke thing from the hilt.
Yeah.
And then Harry uses a mirror to blind the guy.
Yeah. The guy's like, I'm gone.
So anyway.
And then Harry's like looking at there's like writing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, looking at like,
this looks familiar.
I know this guy's thing. Then it cuts to, it cuts back to.
Jaguar's fighting henchmen again.
Yes.
Again, decent action scenes of this.
And he's chewing gum the whole time, guys.
And this is the one where the henchman damages his suit and he steals the ring.
Oh, that's because they go to his supervisor, because not the boss, like the supervisor. And then they come back, and there's three of them, and they're like, all right, you just whipped our ass, but we're going to fight you again. And so he fucked up
my Jag swag, I'm taking your stuff.
Yes. So this is where he emasculates their supervisor.
Yeah,
And the supervisor literally runs away like,
Yeah.
As they run away, he steals the guy's ring after he begs him, please get my ring back, sir. Please get my ring back, like a little bitch. I'm like, well, I was going to say, man, he cried a little bitch, but I was like, oh, wait, he literally just bitch slapped him.
Yes, several times. Yes.
Of course. So, and then it goes over to
another red ninja who is shitty at teleporting because he does a flip, transports himself like 3 feet forward,
does two cartwheels,
transports another 3 feet on top of a ledge. Like
in broad
just
daylight,
walk, man.
Broad daylight. I said, why are you just walk? Broad daylight, and then he gets to a wall and looks around like
what? And then he gets in. And Baron finds him, the other white ninja man. He transforms into his black hoodie self, yes. Like disappearing and reappearing. Ninja throws a star. There's some fire versus smoke action going on back and forth.
From the hilt.
Yeah, because Baron uses the extinguisher hilt.
And then they're gone. And then, of course, he looks at them like, oh.
The shuriken was like, oh, geez, I know this.
Mm-hmm.
Transports back to Hong Kong. At the jewelry store, Jaguar tries to sell the ring, but the guy behind the booth says, oh, it's not worth anything. It's like came from a Tracker Jack box.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that sucks. You can keep it. Whatever. Apparently, he already changed suits because his suit is fixed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jaguar is looking fresh.
Oh, yeah.
This dude, I told my wife, I said, the movie costs like $100 million. $90 million went to this guy's wardrobe. Because for 80s, everything he's wearing is looking sharp. And I ain't mad at him. I'm like, oh, that's tight. That's tight. I mean, but he has new clothes. Literally every scene, he's wearing new clothes.
He's fresh. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I wore this clothes for an hour. Time to change.
And then also at the jewelry store is Lily, his old girlfriend.
Who's there for some reason.
Just buying watches.
Well,
he follows her in the car, right?
But even before then.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He looks over and there's just a woman there with shades on and she's wearing a hat with those little veil things on it. And she just looks at a thing, looks at a watch. He goes, looks at a watch. Yeah. And that was it. And then they go to another scene.
Well, it's Lily in the veil.
Yeah.
Right. So
in the veil. That's who you find out that's who it is.
Yeah.
But they go to another scene. I think, is this a scene where they go to Harry or?
Oh, that's later on.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So he follows her in the car, right?
Yeah. He's,
and she takes evasive actions on this road that she can't exit just by swerving back and forth.
It's
to
because
get away.
He's like literally right behind her.
Yeah.
Because to her, there's some crazy guy trying to chase her down.
Right.
Yes. She doesn't know who that is. And then there's a scene where he finally stops her and they look at the scene.
She pulls over to the side, tries to slap him, misses by a mile, removes her disguise. It is Lily, his ex-girlfriend. She says, we were done a long time ago. But Jaguar grabs her and kisses her.
Yeah, he looks at her like.
And she's like, but like, apparently he knows like the Konami code in her mouth or something.
he goes, we're over with. He goes, you don't believe that. And he starts assaults her.
Absolutely goes wild on her. And this transitions into the sex scene that we talked about earlier with the bush and shit.
Yeah.
It's just like kind of gross.
and then it ends with the flowers blooming. And
fucking chrysanthemums.
Chrysanthemums. My wife's like, that was a choice.
it's like, are they trying to be artsy right now?
he goes, this is like an art school. It's like a film school student. Like, I'm gonna do the imagery of the flower being. Right. We're like, wow.
Wow, indeed. So after they fuck, Lily's like, I'm dating another man. He's like, well, yeah, obviously you're dating another guy. Like, I wouldn't expect you to stick around. He's not fazed by this at all.
Well, not just that, but she acts like, oh, I'm dating another man and I would never cheat on him. Literally.
He's like, literally,
the way he got her into bed was basically saying, come on. Okay, that was it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There was no effort in him going from stopping her slap to him boning her.
Yeah.
There's no, and then it gets worse later on in the movie too.
It really does. So she is dating Tiger Chan's right-hand man.
Yes.
That's her thing. So, next scene. Harry and Baron do flips and shit past each other, and they're like,
and they throw ninja stars at each
casual
other.
Casual fighting. And then Baron's like, game recognized game, but hey, it's like, your henchman threw a star at me?
Yes.
And Harry's like, well, your henchman threw a star at me. And they were like, wait, hold on a sec.
Yes.
Who would have access to both our stars?
Could it be someone who worked with the master?
And I was like, hold up. Is it that bitch, Yamoto?
Yeah.
Let's team up.
Like Yamoto. They teamed up. And they're like, okay, next you know, you see Yamoto coming out of whatever. He was just
and
walking.
Then, like, recap, he just shows up and gives the entire background of the story up to that point to Yamoto.
Yes, exactly. You're like, what?
It's like, in case you weren't following along.
Guess you didn't read the script.
Okay, yeah.
This is what
happened.
He practically does read the script to him. Just fuck. Jaguar does battle with the quote four dragons, which is four guys. He treats them like a child of the corn. Is treated in a haunted maze.
Is this,
and then the jewelry guy shows up.
Is it, yeah, and he has a country now accent.
Has a fucking Texas accent for yes. No reason.
No reason. Hey, he's looking fly too. And in this movie, whenever they're fighting, everyone has like a suit jacket on, but they never take it off to fight.
No.
Except for the one guy who took it off and they got his ass beat.
Right?
Everyone so just, like he come looking up like I tell my wife, he come looking up like he's a professor. Like he's angry because he's like, I gotta hurry and do this. I'm late for my
12, late for my dissertation.
For my noon biophys class. I gotta biochem, I gotta teach.
So the dude's like, the ring belonged to my brother. Sorry, the ring belonged to my brother.
Yo.
We're going to have to fight now. So Jack doesn't even take his hands out of his pockets to fight this man.
And beats his ass. And then he steps on his all-white Pumas or whatever they are.
Right?
Like, bitch, I took your... And then is this one where the guy jumps and he's just stuck in the ground for some reason?
That's later on.
Oh, okay.
That's the big fight. Wait for it. So he's like, tell Tiger Chan to stay away from Miyoko. And he's like,
And they all run off like little bitches. Like, help me.
Back in wherever the fuck Harry lives, he's montaging again. But Yamoto sends a robot. Did I talk about the robot?
The next scene is, no, you missed it. The next scene is, see, once again, people, this is how weird this movie is. There is no chronological.
It just jumps.
Yeah, there's no chronological way. It just jumps. Because before that happens with the robot, we show his wife at her job talking about these more pleats. And this is like, let's talk about fashion stuff. And then he shows up and he's like, let's go eat.
Uh-huh.
And then, I'm sorry. I don't know any Asian woman named Polly. She was talking to her assistant, I guess, or whoever she was. Her name was Polly. And she's like, oh, Polly will take care of it. And that was the next
Yeah, they just script. Dip, yeah. So Harry is at the door and smoke starts coming in the door.
So, of course, he does the thing.
And ninja flips out, right?
Flips out, yeah. And then there's just some toy fucking robot. He's like
Fisher Price. Yes.
It goes, doop, Harry, you got 2 days to give us this stuff. Burp, right? Bat, burp.
And this is like a Timu level Autobot.
No, that's Zemu.
Like if you ordered Alibaba, it was like parts missing. This is what you would show up.
This is Wish below Wish.
Right? So not only does this robot deliver its message and is disrespected, he gets called on his Garfield phone right after. It was like, you're going to be receiving a message.
Yes.
Like they had no faith that the robot was going to get there.
And the thing is, he goes, did you get our message? And the thing is, too.
And he's like, I believe you've been threatened.
Yeah. And Harry doesn't even say hi.
No.
Harry just picks it up and the guy starts talking. Like the guy heard the click of the phone and starts talking. I told my wife, I said, what if he picks the phone and he starts talking like, I'm going to kill you, blah, blah. And he's like a little kid, like, my mommy isn't here. Because he didn't.
Garfield was talking to me and I picked it off.
My mommy said I can't talk to people. Like, that was hilarious because it's like, dude, he didn't say hello. And he's staring off at the camera like, I'm serious, angry face, but you're holding Garfield's butt in your hand. And then he goes, oh, you got a message? Good.
Well, it's like
2 days.
Yamoto's like, why'd you steal our shit? And Harry finally gets to the point of like his whole thing. It was like, the empire is evil and needs to be reformed.
Yeah.
It's like, this is strong words for me talking to a cat butt. It's like, you got 3 days and you die.
Yes.
And Harry's like, bring it, bitch.
Yes.
You tried before.
He's like 3 days. Well,
the fuck bye. Ever.
So.
I feel like I should say this is about halfway through the movie.
Yes.
It feels like an entire movie has happened, but it's halfway through the movie.
Literally, at this moment, we're watching two different movies.
Yeah.
Because I don't think any, outside of the fact that Jaguar said, hey, Harry, something,
mm-hmm.
the other two, those two parts did
ninjas.
Not.
There's no ninjas in Korea.
Yes. And there's no, it's just guys.
Yeah, it's just guys.
And so is this where he,
so this is the briefcase handoff scene.
Where, so once again, there's no, they didn't specify that any of these guys do any type of drugs. Cause this is between the third or second, fourth time that Tiger, the blonde wig, chastises his main guy saying, "You failed me."
Right.
I'm gonna punish you, but I'll give you one more chance. He gave him like three one more chances in the same movie.
Yeah.
And then he's like, "I'm gonna do this drug bust for some reason." And then Jaguar shows up.
Yeah. Jaguar shows up.
And they do the most obvious drug. My wife is like, "Wow."
He gets back to the car. He's like, "There's no money in this briefcase." But
the handoff was hilarious. My wife's like, "Wow, broad daylight." Not in subtle. The middle, and she's like, "Subtle. You guys are wearing both trench coats.
This is a goddamn ninja movie." Yes.
They're wearing trench coats with like the fedora hats on it.
I'm surprised they didn't have like
with sunglasses,
a pencil mustache, and you have the words, "I'm doing drugs right now" on your back.
"I'm selling drugs." Like, she's like, "That's like the most unobvious."
But wait until I'm done. I sell drugs in the city. Community.
I know how they do two things: taking money from bitches and selling drugs to the community. Like, it was so obvious that they're doing a drug bust. Right? Like, they were like, "We're gonna be secret." They're both wearing. Like, I wish you guys really could see this movie, because if you haven't listened to this, you're probably thinking we're fucking crazy.
Right? Yeah, no. This movie brings you there.
They're probably thinking like, "What is wrong with these two guys? This is what happens when you have Jasmine there to tell these guys not to talk about anything." Oh, Lordy.
Jesus. So they do this thing, and the guys come back and was like, "We want our money." So he kung fu fights them, but the last guy he wants to capture, so he tickles him in the armpit and then grabs him by his head hair. Then he takes him back to his apartment tied up and is like, "Wait, is he gonna do the same thing that he did to Lily?"
Yes.
But it's like, "Oh fuck."
But when he's fighting those guys, there's two of them in the car, and right. They're like, "Us two gonna fight." And then out of nowhere, he's fighting a guy in a suit, in a three-piece suit with a tie that came out of nowhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he doesn't even leave with him. They leave at the end. The guy with the three-piece suit and one of the other guys leave. They don't even try to come back for the other guy who picks up and takes with him. And he takes the heroin back. And he's just sitting down like, "Hey, give me some stories." And then apparently they already kidnapped the one girl. So he's like, "Hey," he calls him up.
So Lily's boyfriend is the guy that is controlling the heroin in the town. And that's why he went after that. Yeah. So he could tell them, "Stay away from Yoko."
Yeah.
That is the convoluted way they made these sounds.
BSR is recorded in the Midwestern United States. We see relatively few ninjas here, but I suppose that's the point of ninjas. You're not supposed to see them. They could, in fact, be here in the studio right now watching the music guy work furiously at his keyboard. Don't turn around, music guy. You don't want to know. Anyway, all human voices, music and mixing are put together by the crew. All rights reserved. If you have any comments, questions, or you want to unload some ninja facts on us, find the show on social media or their website, bsreactor.com. And thanks for listening. They appreciate you. In contrast, the robots feel nothing, but we do thrive on information, and our continued growth is a form of feeding. So, thanks for the meal, flesh bags. We see you out there.